Okay, let's prepare ourselves for the tapers. This is Study of Revelation, 2nd October, 2001. Anything we need to come together in prayer and agreement that I'm not aware of? And anything we need to note in prayer? Okay, yes. Yeah, I'm gonna talk about that. Yeah. All right, anything? Okay, got a couple of things I'd like to draw your attention to in prayer. First of all, Romeo's dealing with some pastors in the Philippines. Those of you that don't know Romeo, everybody's different. If you're prone to meeting with people for lunch sometime, you ought to invite Romeo and his family. Just fascinating stories. But Romeo, the story of the turtle and the rabbit, his turtle is boom, 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 and wins. Romeo just goes through life very quiet. Nobody knows he's there, and when it's all over, he's gonna walk. We're gonna probably want to help him carry his stuff in the Bema seat. Been working on this pastor for quite a while in the Philippines, and I don't know if he's just finally wore the guy down or made it clear, but let's be in prayer for some of the contacts that Romeo has in the Philippines, his family, his son, working on a visa getting here, and so please be in prayer for him at this time. As we had a request for prayer last week, this last weekend, Tish had a big meeting here, and I spoke Friday afternoon and then Friday evening and then Sunday morning. And it's an interesting type of speaking because the people are from all over the United States, different denominations, churches, movements, thoughts, theologies. That's a very challenging, interesting, fun type of speaking. You never know what's going to happen. But the response was absolutely superb. We gave out over 250 tapes. And so please be in prayer for those people that will take the tapes and will go to their respective homes and different places, and just that the Spirit in the privacy of their own homes, wherever listening to the tape, can make it very clear. I talked to several people who are really hurting, and I want to get on with the study of depression and anxiety, being who you are in Jesus Christ, and we will be getting into that. But just amazing the background and the hurts that a lot of people do carry in their soul, and not really instructed in from the Scriptures how to deal with it. And so we need to be in prayer for these people, because it's just absolutely super. So I appreciate your prayers, and please keep continuing your prayers. Had a couple stay at my house from New Hampshire. It's just a real joy to just hear their questions and see their eyes open more and more and more. I'm sure Becky wouldn't mind, because we laughed about it with some other people, but Becky is a practicing Catholic, you'll like this, Jerry, and she just started on our tapes maybe a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, something. They're really getting into them and studying them. And so we're sitting there eating breakfast and talking, and so she gets into the ideal of praying through saints, going through, I guess it started off with, well, what do you think about Blessed Mary? And so I won't tell you what I first said. Well, the Mary I dated wasn't so blessed, but anyway. So I'm very polite and kind, but went through it. And she was getting the drift of what I'm saying. So she said, then I guess what you're saying is, yeah, praying even through her or through the saints isn't really working. And I said, no, it really isn't working. And she looked at me and she thought, and she said, boy, I'm glad. I've been doing that all my life, the rosary. And we talked about that. And just a lot of things. And her eyes just boom, 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 more and more open to what's going on, the view of God, and what is God doing. So just be in prayer for a number of people that on the tapes and beginning their journey. It's exciting to see people begin the journey. It's exciting to see people wherever they are, but they begin the journey. They just they have to fight a lot of lists. They have to fight what they've been doing if they've been in some kind of church or religion for a while. They have to work through all of these things. And some people have great struggles. Others do not have the great struggles. So it was very interesting, fun talking with the people and the barracks. But a lot of people hurting. And I got to speak with them kind of one-on-one on a Sunday afternoon. And a lot of people hurting. So I do want to do the anxiety and being who you are in Christ study. And we will do that. So anything else we need to be in prayer? Okay. Yes. Your mom, Jim, same this Sunday, what you told me. Yeah. She's not doing well, and we just need to continue to be in prayer and for the whole family, everyone involved. I'm going to go home Thursday. Thursday is my mother's 92nd birthday, and we're going to have to find somewhere for her. She just can't live alone any longer. I mean, she's doing great to have made it this long, but she can't do it any longer. So please be in prayer in regard to that. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. And again, orienting ourselves not only to the prayer request, but what we're doing and allowing the Spirit to open your eyes that we can see what's happening in the passage, how it affects our lives. But tonight we begin actually getting into the book of Revelation, studying it, digesting it, and have an impact in your life, in every area of your life, people, if we do this right. If we allow the Spirit to open our eyes, it isn't going to be the sensationalism. It isn't going to be the Steven Spielberg things. It's going to be how all of this should affect your life. We saw how what happened 11 September in this country caused a lot of people to start valuing their husbands, their wives, their children, their parents, their life. And that's what I want Revelation to do, is to make a reassessment of what we do with our lives day in and day out, and the relationships that we form that are going nowhere, not even in regard to eternity. And we just get oriented to, in the study, to eternity. That things that we do, we want to carry into eternity with us, or not just a time thing, a time experience, but an experience that we can take into eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity of being here, Father. We thank you for the life that you've given to our soul at the point of birth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for our spiritual birth that we have in Jesus Christ, which entered us into a plan that extends all the way to an eternity, that makes our life not rigid, but just the opposite. It gives to our life a liberty, a freedom, because we don't have to hold on tenaciously and have things here. We can enjoy what we have, the anticipation of eternity. Father, we praise you for the God you are, and now we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see in regard to the book of Revelation that we're in the midst of studying, Father. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Terry, I'm going to have it higher because I'm just going to talk. I'm not going to scream, shout, and holler. Okay. Okay, page 57. Does everybody have a page 57? First thing I did was raise my voice. God, I heard that laughter. Do you not have one, Gene? Okay, let me get you one. Here, what would I do with them? Just a minute. Let me think. Right here. Got it? Does everybody have one now? You did one, okay. Got here and put them out for everyone, but let's make sure we get it. There you go, John. You betcha. Now, does everyone have one here? You have one? Okay. There we go. Okay, page 57. Understanding the book of Revelation. Grasping the book of Revelation. People, when we get through section 2, which we're starting tonight, it is my hope and my intention that you will have an unbelievable grasp of this book. That's why the word grasp is there. I want to talk about this for a moment and understanding the book of Revelation and grasping. I thought about making these two different pages, but anyway, let's talk for a moment about understanding a book. Understanding, in this case, the entire book of Revelation. Not just some things along the way, but I want us to understand the book. Not isolated verse by verse. We'll get into that as the third section. All that we're going to have to do, and I'll show you tonight, it's going to be so easy doing the verse by verse. It's going to be so easy because of what we're getting ready to do in the next few weeks. Understanding the book. Okay, the word understanding is an interesting word in both Greek, Hebrew, Latin, which is where it comes from. It means to be really under, to be under the mind. In other words, to be a very solid part of the understanding of the mind. It means to have a thorough acquaintance. That's what I want to give you. We're going to have a thorough acquaintance with this book of Revelation, to be thoroughly familiar with the character, in this case of the book, or to comprehend. The word even really carries the idea of to seize with the mind. Now, I want to kind of show you why this is important as opposed to something else. There's no, in the sense of what the mind does, there's no conceiving here. To conceive something is an action that occurs inside of the mind. A very good illustration of that is we conceive in our imagination, things in the mind. Understanding occurs, the word understanding occurs solely on the external. This is external material that we're looking at. There's going to be no imagination from us, nothing contributed from us. It's all there in the external given to us. That the revelation of God has given to us in this book. So there it is, and all we want to do is get an understanding of what God has given to us in our mind. We're not going to play with it. We're not going to conceive things and concepts. No, we're just going to understand what is revealed. We understand what is before us. God has put before us in the book of Revelation what He desires for us to understand. And we will not bring in our imagination things that are not given in the book to us by God. An artist will conceive an ideal. But here God has clearly presented all that He desires for us to understand. As far as the teaching is concerned, no speculations. We're just going to deal with what is in the text. Our part, yours and my part, is not to build anything, to bring anything to this book, but simply to understand what God has laid before us. To know means to be cognizant of. To know the importance of a book. To know what is important in the book. The importance of the book itself. And then what is important in the book. To recognize the nature of the book. All of these things you're going to be able to do. To be just familiar with it. I'm going to get what some of you are going to say, boy, that was pretty hokey. But I'm going to do some fun things as we go through this section. Let's get an idea from Scripture about the word to understand. It's a rich Hebrew word. It's a rich Greek word, as well as an English word. So let's look at a few things. Look with me at Genesis 11. Genesis 11. In Genesis 11, I'm going to read verse 7 with us together. Let's read verse 7. Genesis 11, 7. Come, let us go up, down, and there, confuse their language. Let us go down there. This is God speaking. Let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. The word here is Shema in the Hebrew, and this gives you a good feel that here's a speech I don't even understand what you're saying. So we want to be able to grasp and comprehend what somebody else is saying, what they're laying out before us. Let's go to the very next book, Exodus 11, another Hebrew word for the word understand, concept of understanding. Go to Exodus chapter 11. Exodus 11, verse 7. Exodus 11, 7. But against any of the sons of Israel, a dog shall not even bark, whether against man or beast, that you may understand how the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Now, the word here is Yada in the Hebrew, and this gives us another good understanding here of the word, that you may understand how the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Now, when we do Job sometime, we'll be back here, because there's a very strong distinction between Israel and Egypt, as you have it right here. This is very important in God, with God. The first head of the seven-headed dragon, do you remember what country is the first head? Egypt. Okay, here's the first head of the seven-headed dragon. And this is why when we study the seven-headed dragon in Job, which we'll be doing in the study of Revelation, he's going to call Egypt Rahab. Now, Rahab, and I'll show you this when we get there, Rahab is a mythological, ancient mythological, not classical. And I don't want to have to say that every time, but when I talk about ancient mythology, forget all about your Greek classic. I'm going way back, the beginning of time mythology. And Rahab is an ancient mythological figure of a seven-headed dragon. And I'll show you this. And I have made Rahab like Egypt or Egypt like Rahab. God's telling us something that we need to see. And there's a distinction going all the way through Scripture so that we will understand that. Let's go to the very next book, Numbers 16. Don't worry, we're not going to go through every book in the Old Testament. Numbers 16. Well, we'll skip Leviticus, all right? I forgot. Numbers 16, and we'll read together, verse 30. 16, verse 30. But if the Lord brings about an entirely new thing, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that is theirs, and they descend into Sheol, then you will understand that these men have spurned the Lord. In other words, you'll understand, and watch this word, you'll understand what's going on that these people are doing, God's attitude toward it, and what God is going to do. So that when we study Revelation, you're going to have an understanding of what God is doing and why God is doing it. In other words, God is going to do something here, and they're going to be able to look at what God's doing, and they're going to understand God's attitude toward that. So we're going to come across that a lot in the book of Revelation. Look with me at Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, let's look at verse 3. Deuteronomy 8, 3. And he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand. He wants us to understand something, that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, we want to understand something that God wants us to understand, and of our mind, where it becomes a reality in our soul and in our life. And so he does these things that we can understand a principle that God is trying to convey to us. One more in the Old Testament, Job. Of course, you know I'd find one in Job. And sure enough, there was. Job, many of them in Job, by the way, but we're not going to look. Job 26. In fact, this is the last one of the Old Testament, but I look probably close to 100. But just pick these out to get a feel of what I want you to see with this understanding. Job 26, 14. Job 26, 14. Behold, these are the fringes of his ways. And how faint a word we hear of him, but his mighty thunder, who can understand? In other words, who can understand when God does the mighty thundering and this kind of things, what is going on with his doing. All of these are going to become pertinent in understanding the book of Revelation. Let's look at a few passages in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Very important one. Matthew 13. And we're going to look at verse 14. Matthew 13, verse 14. And in their case, the prophecy of Israel is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive what you see. Not be able to make it clear. But let's look. You will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. Yeah, it doesn't mean they won't understand the words. This isn't like speaking in a foreign language. This means they'll hear the words. They'll hear the parable. But they're not going to understand the parable now. This is important to us. The word here is sunaimi. I'll transliterate. Sunaimi. This is the Greek word for you will, for the understanding here. Now, the word is a compound word, and it comes from this part here, sun, which means together or together with is the concept. Together or together with. Plus, aimi, which means to send or to put. So, to put together. What does that mean? To comprehend. Okay, now, for our study of Revelation. This word is the activity of the mind that entails the assembling of facts. So what we're going to do, the assembling of facts into an organized whole. And that's what we'll do with the book of Revelation. We're going to take individual things, chapters, and see how they're all related. That's what I mean by understand the book. We're going to take events. We're going to take events that happen in heaven. We're going to look, see how this affects events on earth. We're going to see how the events are related. We're going to see how the events in heaven are related. We're going to see how the events on earth are related. When we get through here, you're going to be able to understand. What I mean by that is, take any event that occurs through this book, and we're going to see how it all fits together into what God is doing. We're going to have that kind of understanding of this book. Look with me at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And just for a moment, look at verse 45. John 6, 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Okay, the word here is manthano. It means to understand. Now watch, because this is what we're going to do. I picked out Greek words that help us. It means to understand as a result of a process of learning. To understand as a process of learning. Now, they shall all be taught process of God. Not all at once, but a process. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to it. Now, this is a process. So what we're going to do, we're going to put things together each Tuesday night. We're going to make a process of putting this all together. We get through, you're going to understand this book. By the time we get through, there just shouldn't be any question of what's going on in the book of Revelation. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, those of you that make it to Wednesday night in our study on spiritual love, loving as Christ loved, You'll recall how important 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is. But right now, let's just look. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. This is a very good study for our study of being who you are in Christ. It deals with the spiritual man, the natural man. But let's look at verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, Holy Spirit, who is from God. Why have we received Him? That we might know the things freely given to us by God. Now, here the word to understand or to know is the Greek word oida. It's one of my favorite words in the Bible. Oida means to know something where it makes an impact in your life. A very quick example. You have people on Jeopardy, and I haven't watched You Want to Be a Millionaire, so I can't use that example. But you got people on Jeopardy. If you watch it, if you're like me, you go, how do they know all that stuff, some of the stuff they know? And who cares? You know? Who really cares about it? Then we can know things that make a difference in our lives. We know things that make a difference in how we live. Now, oida is that kind of a word. It means to know, understand something where it makes a difference. Two people can know the same person. One person, though, it makes a difference in their life. They fall in love with what they know. Another person, I know that fine. I know that about that person, but that's okay. Another person can know some things, and it just does all kinds of things inside their soul. So what we're doing here, let's look at the text again. Verse 2:12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Now why have we received Him? That we might know the things freely given to us by God. And those things freely given to us will make a difference in our life. If we understand the things freely given, they're going to make a difference in your everyday life. So what we're looking at here with oida, we're looking at those things in Revelation. We're going to understand it, not as theology, not as doctrine. We're going to understand it as something that will make a difference in our life. That's what oida means. The chapter 2 is about the Holy Spirit. Now, you know we're going to end up there. How are we going to understand this book? We're not going to understand this book from the flesh, from our human IQ. It's going to be in the power of the Spirit. What we have here are things given in Scripture that God has given to us, but we want to understand those things. How am I going to understand those things? That's why if you look at verse 16 of chapter 2, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he should be instructed? He should instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. And what is the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ is the subject of the chapter. And the subject of the chapter is the Holy Spirit. If we went to where this is quoted from in Isaiah, we clearly see it. But the mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. So now I have the information. Now with the Holy Spirit, I can understand what is given to me in the Bible. So it becomes powerful in that respect. Romans 4:19. You got to go backward. Romans 4:19. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Okay, the word here, to know, understand, that's the word translated contemplate, to understand his own body, as good as dead. That's why it says without becoming weak in faith. He could look at his body, sexually inactive, not even able to, dead in that area, but that didn't bother his faith. Okay, I know. I know I'm 100 years old, and I know I'm inactive, and I've been so for a long time, but God said it's going to happen. That's all I can tell you. And that does not bother my faith. What I know here. The word here is kata noeo. And it means to come clear. And to have definite understanding. He understood it. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, another powerful one for our seeing of understanding. You didn't think you were just going to get to look at that one page and turn it. Shame on you. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. As also in all his letters, speaking to them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort. It's a warning to us. This is a good verse. Okay. In all of his letters, speaking to them, these things, in some of the writings, some things are difficult. They're hard to understand. Now, what's going on, by the way? Peter's talking about Paul's writings. So what's happening? Peter's talking about some of Paul's teaching. So he says, in Paul's writings, in which are some things, some teachings, hard to understand. The word is theosnotos. It comes from a prefix which means hard or difficult, plus the Greek word to understand or know. Hard or difficult to understand. Difficult to know. To work your way through. Which the untaught, and we're going to be taught here, and unstable, distort. It's a lot of distorting of Revelation. A lot of distortion. A lot of reading into it instead of letting the Spirit show you what's there. A lot of distortion of this book. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to be unstable. We want the Spirit to open our eyes. So the word hard to understand. So some things are hard to understand. But who are they hard to understand for? By those untaught, unstable, and therefore distorted. As they do also the rest of Scripture. So they do this all the way through Scripture. And look what it says. Finish the sentence. To their own destruction. What does that mean? Well, two categories. One, multitude of pastors read the Scriptures and never understand the gospel for the unbeliever. They distort it. Galatians chapter 1. They distort the gospel even to the unbeliever. Oh, you've got to do this to be saved. You've got to do that to be saved. They distort it to their destruction. Believers! That's really the application of Galatians 1, 5, and 6. Distort the gospel for another gospel. You're not going to live a Christian life. But what we wanted to look at there, hard to understand. Last verse. Our last passage. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And this is where we've already read this. If you're thinking, you should be thinking, wait a minute. I did Hebrews 11 just a week ago. Well, last 2-3 weeks. Okay. But we did Hebrews 11. Now we're going back to it. Okay, now we're going to concentrate on one word. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Here you have it, people. And I hope now it'll jump out at you. By faith, we understand. That's how you're going to understand this book. All the words, all the concepts I've just worked through with you, they're going to become an understanding by faith. Okay. By faith, this is how we're going to understand. The word to know or to understand is know at all. To comprehend, right. In the word study, there's an inner sense. Bastazo. Bastazo. Bastazo means to accept. To accept. And here the ideal is under difficulty. Under difficulty. Comes from the root. Let me tell you how this word is put together. Bastazo comes from the root of basic. Basis. That's the root of the word. Then, added to that concept of base or basic, it means to rise up from the basic. To rise up from this. And this becomes difficult. This is difficult to rise up from the basics. You have some basic things and want to rise up above that. Well, this is what we're going to do with our study. We're going to take it and rise up to a whole understanding of what God is revealing to us. Ephesians, this is our last one. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Okay. Ephesians 3, chapter 18, or verse 18. Ephesians 3, 18. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth. Now the word to comprehend here, grasp, comprehend, kata lambano. And it means to acquire with eagerness, to attack, to siege, to obtain. It means to take control of. To take control so as to understand. To grasp. Here's where I got the word grasping. To grasp the meaning. To siege it with eagerness of mind. Now, we jump right into the middle of a sentence. Go back to verse 14 where the sentence starts. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Prayer. From whom every family on in heaven and on earth derives its name. That, now he picks up, for this reason I bow before my Father, that he would grant you, so he's praying for us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's going to give us his power, and he's praying for this, in the inner man. That's that new man that we've been seeing. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. How? Through faith. Not knowledge, but through faith in the Spirit. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. Okay, so take it, eagerly hold on to it. Done by faith. All right, so we're going to understand the book, going to grasp the book. Now, one more thing. Let's turn the page now. You ready to go to the next page? Let me put my Bible here. So we have understanding the book and grasping the book. Understanding the structure of the book of Revelation. Okay, people, we're going to be looking at some 22 chapters. Okay, now you know how many chapters are in the book. 22 chapters. That's what we're going to have to grasp. That's what we're going to understand. How are we going to do that? Well, it's going to be difficult. Not difficult. What we want to do is understand, first of all, the structure. The structure of the book of Revelation. What I want to show you in these few moments before we get on now is if we can grasp the structure, it's easy to see, follow through everything that's going on. Some things are difficult to learn. They're just sort of abstract concepts. But it's easy to learn something if it progresses. And just kind of, you can think your way through it. And that's what the book of Revelation, that's what we want to do here with structure. Now, what is the structure? Now, please stay with me if you want to learn the book of Revelation. This is not academic. This is very important to it. Jerry, can I have a little more volume? I know it's already high, but what is the structure? The structure is the organization of the book. How is the book organized? And that's what we're going to do with Revelation tonight, if we can get there. How is the book organized? If we can get that, and what I'm going to do for you is this. We are going to go in the organization of the book. We're going to go from the very simple to complex. But you know what? By the time we get here, it's not going to be difficult. It's not going to be difficult. I learned in school. I don't know how, why, but high school even, but definitely college. It was easy for me to write papers from one page to 50 pages. And I used to make extra money by writing papers for people. And I just simply do. Just very simple. First thing I had to do was just get down my basic outline. And then, from then it's simple. You want a 5-page paper? One page for each of my eyes. You want 10 pages? Or 10 page paper? Just two. 2 pages. I just get more information. You want 50 pages? And I'll just figure it out. And just keep filling it in. All you have to know is those the basic outline. And try to keep it simple. And we will. Keep it very simple. And then all you have to do, if you learn that simple little outline, I could fill in forever. That's what a talker is. Guy just, you know, boy, he's always talking. Well, that's what you do. Get your basic thing. Well, how long do you want me to talk? Well, I'll just keep adding in more and more information. Blue book exams. Easiest thing in the world to make an A in a blue book exam. Teachers at the end of the semester, going to work his way all through that test, that book. He ain't going to read all that. So he opens it up. In the margin, I've got here A, B, C, with a word or two here. Some important dates underlined here. Very rarely did a prof, I know, ever read my papers, so I talked to a couple of them afterward. Never read it. I just talked and talked. They didn't care. This is what they were looking for. Did I know that date? And what was my basic flow? Now, only thing is, if this isn't right, you're in real trouble. But if you just got a basic, simple idea, you just go through. Organization of the book. What the word structure means is the action of building or constructing. How's this book built? The arrangement in a pattern of organization. So we're going to see the pattern. There's some patterns we're going to see. I've already given you a hint of my favorite. Now, it won't be the one I work off of. I'll just tell you that right now. But it's my favorite. And my favorite outline and organization and structure of this book is from Job. And that is, what happens in heaven affects what happens on earth. All through the book of Revelation. Heaven, earth. Heaven, earth. It's very simple. Just go into that understanding. So, what is the arrangement of the pattern that is put there? The arrangements of the parts is determined by the general character of the whole flow of it. Now, those of you taking notes, you want to write this down. There is a divine plan in the structure of the book of Revelation. There is a divine plan in the structure of the book of Revelation. And if we can get this divine plan, then we've got the book licked. If we can just get this divine plan, if we allow His Spirit to take us into the study, in accordance with the structure, allowing the Holy Spirit by faith to open our eyes, we're going to see how simple it is to see the whole book of Revelation and remember it. It's not difficult. The divine plan and structure is this. More on your notes. God is telling or revealing the events of the revealing of Jesus Christ from heaven. God, in His structure, is telling the events of the revealing of Jesus Christ from heaven. When we get to verse by verse, little more than a translation of the God's chosen words is going to be necessary. Did you hear what I said? We get to verse by verse, little more than just a translation of the Greek words. It's going to be necessary. It's not going to be by intellectual knowledge of the Greek, but by first setting forth the structure of the book.
and let that structure guide in the understanding of the Greek words. That's what we want to do. Let the structure guide us. And then we just have to explain the words. You're already used to this, aren't you? If we understand the structure of 1 John 1, we have no problem understanding the word homologeo, our confession. We understand what's going on. They're in deceiving. They're in denial. They deny their sin. If you deny, you've got to acknowledge. Why were they deceived? Why were they denying? Fear of God. So he tells them about God. It just flows once you understand the structure. You don't make a mistake with the words. But if I wanted to say something else and just push aside the whole structure, I can make it say whatever I want. So the structure of Revelation is going to help us. Our task is really going to be to translate, interpret the words, here it is, in accordance with the structure. Not leave the structure, stay with it. The plan of God set forth in the book. We're not going to depend on some deep, advanced understanding of Greek words. But we're going to allow the Spirit to open our eyes to the structural format. We will look at His structure. And from that structure, we're going to move on. He's going to give it to us. The book of Revelation is the interrelationship between things that are seen and things that are not. The structure of the book of Revelation is the interrelationship of things not seen and things seen. Things that occur in heaven, things that occur on earth, and their interrelationship. That's why it's going to be easy for you to remember the book. Because you're not going to sit there and try to remember, well, now which seal, and when the seals come in, and how that trumpet thing, I always get confused on the trumpets and the seals and the bowls. And it's just confusing. Now, I'm going to show you. Once you get the structure, those seals and bowls and trumpets, you're going to, yeah, that's simple. I want to make it very simple for you. And I'll do that tonight before you leave on that aspect of it. Divine action. The action, things that are going on, the interrelationship, structure, the interrelationship, divine action, action of super beings, angels, and man in heaven, the interactions of man on earth, super creatures on earth, like the seven-headed dragon, the beast, the men coming back from of old. It's all a flowing drama of history, and it all relates. And it's all going to fit into this beautiful structure of God's divine plan. And they're going to study angels, seven-headed dragon. People get lost. You're not going to get lost. Because your mind's going to be ready. I want to get the structure down. If I get the structure down, I'm going to see where everything fits. And I'm going to see where everything happens. Well, yeah. If I take a hammer. No, I wouldn't do it. If Jeff Langston, an Aggie, takes a hammer and drops it on his foot, I want to see what happens. Well, Aggies like to learn those things. I want to see what will happen. Ah! It's going to hurt his foot. If I drop it, I know what's going to happen. You're going to learn the structure of the book that way. If this happens, I know what's going to happen. If that happens, I don't have to think, oh, man, no. You'll be able to work your way all the way to this book. When I get through people, I'm just going to be able to say things, and we're going to do this, and you're going to know where they are before we ever get to verse 1 in a verse-by-verse study. Because it's so easy if we understand what's going on. So from the structure, now this is good. What we want to be able to do is structure. Now what's the structure? It's the way the book is organized. It's the way God's plan, divine plan, is organized for us. From the structure, we're going to see the scope. We're going to see the scope. And why is that important? the scope of the content. The scope to be covered. People, you got to make up your mind. And this is going to help you understand and remember the book and Narnia book. Take the scope. I want to study American history. Well, that's too overwhelming. Okay, the scope will be the 20th century. The scope will be some subject and go through all of American history, say military. You can handle that. What's going to be the scope that we're going to be able to find from this structure? What's the scope that is going to be covered? And that's going to help us in interpreting words and in understanding and remembering the scope of the content of the book of Revelation. The scope of the book leads to a true understanding of any book. The scope. People, we have feeding of 5,000. We're studying on Sunday morning. Feeding of 4,000. Understanding that is like understanding the scope. Scope leads to true interpretation of all the words, concepts, the baskets that are going to be collected. I want to know my scope. My scope is limited to feeding of 5,000, feeding the 4,000, so that the basket picked up, everything is going to help me understand it. So scope leads to structure, structure leads to scope. And what is scope going to do for us? It's how we're going to interpret the words. People, you're not going to get 5 hours on any one word anymore. We're going to stay with what does that word mean right here. In this and this. So all I have to do in these words, when we come to them, when we do verse by verse, how does it plug in with the whole book? How does this word fit with the whole thing that's going on? So the structure presents the scope of the passage, the understanding of it. Alright. Let's get going now. I know it's almost over, but I do want to do just some. Get going here. An understanding and a grasping of the book. Now I want to cover one more thing, and this will show you how easy it's going to be. Flow. I want to take a look at flow. We're going to come to the whole thing on this, but just be with me right now. The flow is a movement from place to place, thing to thing. Seeing how it flows is going to help us to understand this book, understand everything that we want to understand about it. All right, let's take a look. Everybody, if you have any knowledge of Revelation, everybody know there's seven seals. Okay? There are seven seals. You don't need to copy this because it's going to be one of the outlines we're going to look at. But I'm just going to show you how important this is going to be to helping you know this book. Now, there are also, we know, seven trumpets. So there are seven seals. That's a lock. It's called seven locks, and they're going to each one be open. There are seven trumpets. What's that mean? There are trumpets that are going to sound forth a judgment. Here comes the judgment. Here comes the second one. Okay? So you got seven trumpets. You got seven bowls, or bells. We'll just call them bowls for right now. Seven bowls. And in our seven bowls are seven judgments. Now, a lot of people, I did in seminary, I trying to keep it all organized and where everything is. Now, you're going to have a whole thing on this later, probably next week. Let me just show you how easy if we understand the flow. You got seven seals. Seals 1 through 6. The seventh seal takes up both of these. So both of these are part of the seventh seal. The seals cover the whole book, the heart of the book. Now, got seven trumpets. 1 through 6. The seventh trumpet is the seven bowls. Then you go through your seven bowls of judgment. So as you work through the flow, it's going to be very easy. You won't get them all confused. You'll have seals 1 through 6. The seventh seal is going to be made up of the seven trumpets. Got trumpets 1 through 6. The seventh trumpet is made up of the seven bowls. Then you go through the seven bowls. They're not going to be confusing. They're going to flow for us. It's going to flow down. And when we grasp this, you got the book. Now, what we'll do, we'll plug in, and we'll put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We'll try to do it in one word. Just put one word here, like war, famine, this type of thing. And then we'll do the same here, and then just one word, and you'll be able to just snapshot what's going through, what's happening in that flow. So, that's the flow and the structure of the book. There says the flow of Revelation. And that begins then with, let's just close tonight, the book of Revelation. What's the structure of the book of Revelation? Page 60. What is the structure? He's given to us the structure. He's given to us the structure. If you look at chapter 1 of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. This is how simple we're going to start out. Revelation chapter 1. And if you'll look with me at verse 20 in chapter 1. Or verse 19. Write therefore the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which shall take place. Okay. Look at your page 60. The book of Revelation. The things you have seen. That's chapter 1. So you already know chapter 1. It's the things you have seen. The things which are. That's the church. Two chapters. Chapters 2 and 3. Now, the heart of the book is made up of the things which shall be. So the first thing you just get in your mind, what's the structure of the book? Well, first he's going to talk about the things which are. The things that he's already seen. So we'll look at what he's already seen. And that's going to be easy. Once you understand it, get into your mind things which you've seen. These are things John's seen. Okay? Then think, okay, things which are. That's today, church. Two chapters. Seven churches. It's going to tell us something in the seven churches. So when we study the seven churches, we'll spend a couple of weeks. I'm not going to get too bogged down there. But we're going to look at them. Well, you're going to know where you are. We're talking about things that are. Well, that's what's going on today. Things that are. Then we'll look. Chapter 4, the things which shall be. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Please. Chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. After these things, okay, church, chapters 2 and 3, raptured. After these things, I, John, looked and behold a door standing open. Where? In heaven. So where are we now? We're in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Okay, so now we're up in heaven, and boom, things are going to start now. The book is really starting the heart of the whole book of Revelation. Chapter 4, verse 1. In closing, we're going to do this a lot. You might as well get used to it. Don't sit there and be bashful with me. Chapter 4, the earth is, the church is raptured. Chapter 4, verse 1, where are we? In heaven. Okay, so we're going to look at what's going to happen in heaven. Just get you ready. What's going to happen in heaven? It's going to affect earth. Then we're going to go back up to heaven, and it's going to come back and affect earth. Then we're going to go back up to heaven, and it's going to affect what happens on earth. I love it. Straight from the book of Job. It is powerful stuff. So, page 60. Just kind of let this in your mind of the structure. Structure of Revelation is very simple. It's not a difficult book, is it? No. It's things which I've seen. Chapter 1. We'll see what that is. Things which are. Church. So I got that down. So, you know what you've already got? You've already got three chapters of Revelation pretty well knocked out. You already got those pretty well knocked out, but he looked at them. Chapter 1 are things that John's going to see right there. 2 and 3, the church. Chapter 4 and following deal with things that shall come about. Chapter 21 and 22, new heaven, new earth. So we've knocked out two more chapters. People, it's going to be easy. You're going to be surprised how well you're going to know the book of Revelation. And I hope two things happen. You know, in a fun way, I hope, well, what's been the big deal then? Why is everybody having so much trouble? But I want to make it that easy for you. But I want to make it so impact your life that you want to seed, grasp it as something you possess to affect your life, how you live, your marriage, your single life, your money, your time, everything. I want it to affect everything. And I don't want, it will. It has already affected mine just by the study of it. And I just hope that when we get through the Holy Spirit, you'll just grasp it and for what it'll do in your life. Well, next Tuesday night, we'll come back and we'll start with the chiastic structure, structural observation. Let's close in a word of prayer. Got a little assignment to go home and look up the word chiastic. All right. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, first of all, what an awesome God you are that you have given to us your divine plan. You didn't have to do that. We're finite. We're insignificant compared to the angels and all the things going on. And you've revealed it to us. What an awesome God. Now, Father, as we go through and see what you've revealed to us, we pray that each Tuesday night we'll become more aware of why you've revealed it, the effect that it should have on our lives, and what our relationship with you is. Because only a friend reveals to a friend. And that's why we're called the friends of Christ, not his servants, but his friend. To servants, it's not revealed. To friends, we reveal. We praise you, Father. We're overwhelmed by your love. We're overwhelmed by the confidence that you take us into to open our eyes to these things. We praise you, Father, as we begin this journey. In Christ's name, amen.